You are listening to TLRStation.com.
A Graceful Journey radio program is where you will hear powerful conversations, insights, and knowledge to help you when family caregiving calls. Host Lorna Scott brings a powerful combination of experience as a family caregiver and professional expertise as a coach and counselor. You will be empowered to meet demands, find balance, all while caring for yourself that help you find grace, peace, hope, and joy in your caregiver journey.
Hello, welcome to A Graceful Journey podcast powered by Tenacious Living Radio. My name is Lorna Scott, and I'm the author of the best-selling book, Walking the Journey, Together Alone, Finding Peace, Hope, and Joy in the Middle of the Shit. And I'm the creator of Conscious Caregiving Programs. I'm here today to talk about something that's really, is very important for you as a family caregiver. And that is some myths about caregiver burnout. And I've been doing workshops and coaching clients, talking about how they can get some order back in their life and find some more joy and happiness and some personal happiness and how that affects their ability to care for the person that they love. And I have to admit, I've kind of skirted the issue of caregiver burnout. I haven't faced this head on with a lot of family caregivers. And that is because I wanted to stay in that positive bubble. And sometimes we can't find that positive bubble until we see where we're headed down a path that isn't serving us well. And what happens with caregiver burnout is that it almost seems to sneak up on us. And that is when other people, whether it's your family or it might be the doctors, it could be somebody at work, and they start to notice some concerning behaviors or seeing you very sad, seeing you unable to concentrate, and some of those behaviors, those patterns that you might have thought were because you were overtired or worried. And that could be true, and yet they might be really significant clues that you're on the road and getting closer to caregiver burnout, which is, it's just a place you don't want to be at. So I was doing some research on that, and I was listening to some of my clients, and in doing some of the follow-up calls, what I noticed was a couple of people would say, oh, you know, we don't need to come to a workshop, we're managing. And in talking with them further, managing was, I guess in the best light, was basically getting through the day. And I mean, not getting through the day with a whole lot of happiness or fulfillment, contentment or satisfaction, just that they managed to wake up and they managed to stay awake long enough to go to bed at night. And I thought, that's not really a great quality of life. So what am I missing in working with people and working with the family caregivers? And I discovered that it is about some myths about burnout and what gets in the way of the professionals and our family in being able to support you as a family caregiver and be able to give you the help or the guidance, even some information, some space, just a kind word or a hello before you even get close to caregiver burnout. So that's what this show is about today. It's about what I consider to be three myths of caregiver burnout. I'm sure there's more. These are the myths that I've come up with after the last few months of workshops and speaking to clients and, you know, what they tell me about their experience. So just a quick overview of what a myth is. It's an idea or story that's believed by many people, but is not true. And that is an absolute perfect definition of a myth. And caregiver burnout, and I may have touched on this in a couple of shows. I don't think I've dedicated a show completely to caregiver burnout. So caregiver burnout is your overall state of physical, emotional, and mental exhaustion that may be accompanied by a change in your attitudes. So you may have been a positive and caring person and finding that you more days are feeling negative or unconcerned. And this often happens because there is some support that you could use or need as you are caring for the person who is ill or disabled, or maybe they've got some dementia or cognitive issues, and you could use some help. This is what I've likened it to. It's a natural part of life. You're in an unnatural and kind of abnormal role because we've put more responsibilities onto family caregivers than I think ever before because of the cost of healthcare right now. And if we look at it as a natural part of life, that as we age, somebody we love is going to likely get sick. And at some point there may be memory issues or there some of the chronic diseases like cancer or MS. It's going to happen somewhere in our life that someone is experiencing this, and we want to help. And it might be our spouse, which is really changes the dynamic in that relationship. It could be parents, and that brings in a lot of other things as well. But if we kind of go back in time in our life and look at it as becoming a parent, when we get married and we have kids, or we get kids and have married, doesn't matter which order you do it in, when you become a parent, you don't generally do that alone in becoming a mom or a dad. There's often two parents there, and most often live together, sometimes not. But there's usually, family or friends who are supporting that new parent. You don't know everything that's going to happen or what to expect with a child. That's where, new parents buy books and they go to courses and they learn about parenting and they talk to other moms and dads, and they learn as much as they can about being a parent, and they accept help. They accept somebody coming in and caring for that child and caring for them. And it makes such a difference in that relationship they have with their baby and with their family, that support is there. And we don't tell them it's an obligation as if it's a bad thing. We don't say, oh, now you're a mom. You just got to figure it out for yourself. We provide support for them, and often they seek it. That is what I see missing for family caregivers is sometimes, and I've been as guilty of this as anyone, talking about this family caregiver role as it's something totally different and separate from the rest of your life, that it's an obligation and that's a bad thing, or at least maybe I've given the impression that it's a bad thing when it isn't. It is something to acknowledge. When I took caregiving and realized it was a passion and went into that role in that way, it changed my life and changed how I experienced it. And I've seen that happen with people I work with, that they've been able to switch their thoughts and their actions and see a more well-rounded life and see that it's just the caregiving part is just part of life, and you don't have to do it alone. That is the key piece, is that yes, it's natural progression, and we're all going to be a caregiver at some point. It's allowing us to have the support, just like the new parent, and seek it, knowledge and information that is really key. That's what why I came up with these three myths, because we're missing the boat. We're telling caregivers they're broken. We're giving them that impression that they shouldn't need any help unless they're broken. And I want to dispel the myths that perpetuate that thought. And that's what I'm going to get into after the break. I'm going to dive into these three myths in more details and, some things that you might want to consider as you go through your caregiving journey and realize that you know, you could use a hand here and there, and what kind of support that you might want to look for and what that might look like. And if you know someone else who is caregiving for a loved one, that you have, you've got some information to share for them. So I'm going to leave you with a whole pile of aha moments by the end of the show. So please stay tuned. I'll dive into those three myths in more detail after the break. You've been listening to a Graceful Journey radio program powered by Tenacious Living Network.
I didn't order this. Can I send it back? This is one of the powerful Caregiver Mastery signature talks that Lorna M. Scott can bring to your community group, support group, or workplace. She will inspire your audience to change how they think about family caregivers and empower them with key steps for creating a caregiving life by embracing the family caregiver role while putting work, life, family balance back into their lives. Stop the Madness is another popular talk, along with Staying Strong, How to Look After You. Contact Lorna at 403-548-8437 or Lorna at lornamscott.com to book her for your next conference, workshop, seminar, or keynote presentation.
Are you ready to change your perspective? Ready to live outside the box? Then our Fearless Life Workshop is for you. Carrie Ann Barron, owner of TLRStation.com, facilitates this workshop and helps you identify the thoughts, feelings, and actions that may be keeping you from living the life you want. Based on the best-selling book, Fearless Living by Rhonda Britton, the workshop is interactive, experiential, thought-provoking, practical, and fun. Visit tenaciousliving.org to find out more.
Welcome back to a Graceful Journey podcast powered by Tenacious Living Network. Before the break, we were talking about caregiver burnout and why it's taking to burnout stage before caregivers are getting help and what might be getting in the way of getting that message out that, you know, getting the support that you need is just natural and normal, and it's not a bad thing. It's not because you're doing anything wrong. It's part of a natural progression in life. And I mentioned my work in workshops and with coaching clients, listening to people talk about managing and getting through the day and that it's barely surviving. So as I listen to numerous people talk, I discovered that there's what I consider at least three myths of caregiver burnout and why we can see it as helpers. Sometimes we can see that we want to be able to help and support before burnout, and yet we've got a wall in between us in getting that message to you. So myth number one is that it's a bad thing for family caregivers to feel obligated to care or support their loved one. And I touched on this earlier, that this is like telling a new parent that it's a bad thing that they're obligated to care for their baby. You know, of course they love their baby and they want to look after it. And it's a significant change in family. That it's a huge shift in what's happening in that home. And that is what family caregiving is like. It's just another stage in life, and it becomes a new normal for you. Now, I've used this. I know in talking with people, talking about, you know, well, caregivers feel obligated to provide this care, and I've said it with a tone of it's a bad thing, and I'm changing my mind on that. It's just part of your life. Now, the second part of this myth that I just want to bring in to light is that this obligation is often met in two different ways. Some family caregivers will feel called to rearrange their whole life, and that this caregiving role is, you know, utmost important, and their whole being becomes wanting to make life easier for the person that they're caring for. And this was a caregiver that I was, and so I I've talked a lot about embracing the passion for caregiving and how that transformed my life, and I believe that's true. And this is true regardless of which caregiver you are. But you might be this caregiver that just jumps into that role and kind of puts on that superhero cape if you are looking at wanting to get flexibility for your commitments. This could be your work. It could be your volunteer life. It might be other commitments to family. But you're wanting to take those pieces of your life that are kind of outside your home, outside your relationship with the person that you're caring for, and you want to negotiate some, you know, flexibility, either less time, maybe time off, maybe at work it's working from home or reducing your hours, or just having the flexibility to attend medical appointments. You might be the that type of caregiver who is looking at doing all the research about current treatments and upcoming research on whatever illness or disability or cognitive impairment that the person you're caring for has. And some of the emotional pieces that you might connect with, or you might feel bad, feel sad, maybe even guilty if the person you're caring for, you know, has a bad day, or they get upset with some of the limitations that's come from, you know, the change in their health. And you might even feel like you're walking on eggshells at times. You are the person who goes to the ends of the earth to make sure that everything is set for your loved one. They get everything they need, and you kind of are at their beck and call, and that is what you want, and that is your passion, and that's fine. That's who you are. Now, the other type of caregiver that meets this obligation still has that passion for wanting to make life easier, but they use different resources. This is a person who, you know, feeds their own soul and nurtures themselves by being and maintaining their normal part of life. And so you might be this caregiver if you find different solutions to meeting the needs of the person who is having some health challenges. This isn't about abandoning, and I suspect at some point in over the months or years, if this you're this type of caregiver, you might hear from other people that, you know, you're abandoning the person you're caring for, or you are you're selfish, because this appears to look that way, and it's not. You are as being as responsible and loving and caring as the, you know, kind of all in, I'm going to do it myself caregiver. So you might be the person who hires additional home care. You look at using handy transit to help people get around. You meet the person at the medical appointments if they're able to get there on their own. You make sure they're cared for, but you use that outside help. And what helps you stay yourself, I guess, stay sane, is that you don't take time off work. Work is something that feeds you, or your volunteer activities feed you. Your involvement with other family members is what helps you feel like you've got a normal life and gives you your energy so that you can help in these other ways. And this is an okay way to do it. It's different than the other one, and neither one is right or wrong. It's just important to know who you are, what works best for you, and what will keep you healthier, emotionally healthier, physically healthier, mentally healthier, and know that about yourself. So that's a key piece to understand yourself first, so that you know which type of caregiver you are and can be prepared for what people may try to suggest to you, which is going to work for you. I mean, really, we don't have to listen to anybody. We make our own decisions. And as, you know, I've seen, as caregivers get worn down, there is a significant impact to what other people say. And, you know, they might tell you to go, you know, have a bubble bath or go for a walk, or maybe you should take time off work when, you know, work is what's important to you. Or maybe they'll tell you you should work more because there's a financial struggle, and you know that is, if that's the reason you're going to work, that it's actually going to be worse for you. So knowing yourself well is really key to that. And I mean, the bottom line is that your situation's unique and you have to make it right for you. Like that parent with a new baby, you will need support from time to time. And knowing what support helps you and not hinders you is key. Not doing it alone. You don't have to do this alone. I'm going to make this a mantra at some point. You don't have to do this alone. It's not expected you do this alone. There's help out there, and you might already have it from family and friends. They may have offered help. The question would be, do you accept help? And is the help you need is something that they can provide? Is there other people you can ask for help? Would it help to have an objective person to listen to what's going on and be able to give you some solutions that you might not have noticed or heard of? Sometimes it helps to have that outside opinion on that as well. So myth number two is a family caregiver's needs are not important and can be brushed to the side for now. I think this is a myth that's often, most often internally thought by caregivers, and they change their thoughts that what's happening in their life is just something they have to deal with, they have to cope with. And in some ways, I've mentioned it's a natural part of life, so some of that makes sense. There's different ways to do that. But you might get this myth showing up from family and friends and coworkers, colleagues within your volunteer community, that they give that impression that your needs aren't important. They might not say it that way. It might not come out in that many words. It might come out with that kind of look of sorrow, you know, or gee, it must be hard. You know, maybe they don't even ask about your needs. That's often one of the ways that this shows up. Sometimes they say, you might hear from somebody that they say, yes, your needs are important. You need to look after yourself. You know, again, that bubble bath, go for a walk thing. And they're not there to support you. So their actions don't match what their thoughts and what they're saying to you. This myth gets perpetuated with the thoughts that you have no right to complain. And it goes kind of ties in with some of the guilt feelings we have as caregivers, that it is your loved one is sick and you know, they may have if they have a progressive disease or a permanent disability, you know that their life, you know, they've recovered most likely to a point that is the best they're going to be right now. And so you think that you don't have a right to have your needs met because you're going to have a long life. You're not the one that's sick, and you want to focus everything on them. And that's how it starts. And really, that's kind of jumping down the rabbit hole. When you only focus on them, you leave yourself behind. You feel guilty because you get to go out and go, maybe you get to go out and play cards. You might still be working and they're not. So you might be guilty that you get away from the situation and have a diversion. You might feel guilty because you get to go out and have fun with your friends or go to a movie. You have enough energy to get through the day. There's a lot of guilt that goes around family caregiving, and especially if you want to have your needs met, that you get to go out to the gym, that you get to eat good, healthy food, when maybe their illness or disability prevents them from enjoying food that they used to enjoy. So this is a step where family caregivers sometimes get isolated because they stop doing those things that they enjoy because of the guilt and because they eat that myth that their needs aren't as important. You might be barely managing at this point in time, and you think you're doing okay because, like, who wouldn't be, you know, in this feeling the way that you're feeling in this situation? And that can be true, and yet there can be a lot more fun to your life and a better quality of life. So myth number three is that if the caregiver looks like they have it all together, then they must be doing great on their own. And this, I actually only noticed this myth after my husband passed away. And in dealing and looking back at some of the decisions I made and some of the family dynamics, and I remember one day going to my counselor and saying, you know, my husband was 50 years old and dying of cancer. How did they think I was doing okay? And she said, you looked like you had it all together. You gave no clue whatsoever that you weren't doing okay. And this is one of the biggest myths that I see, is that people see the mask that a caregiver wears and they don't delve and look past the mask. This is really a dangerous path leading to caregiver burnout, because if you hide and hide and stuff, then you don't get the help that you need and that energy that it takes to hide all the pain that you're feeling and all the guilt and the tiredness will lead to caregiver burnout. And it's why I believe that medical professionals and the doctors that are involved with your loved one's life, and why family, friends, and colleagues don't see it, because the mask is so thick and just part of who you are. And that's why I want to stop this cycle. Support the caregivers before they're getting to that point. That is the key, and that's part of my new mission. My new mission is to give the message that this is a normal part of life and it's normal to get support. It's a natural part of what is going to happen for most of us. The stats would say all of us, but I'm not going to count. I'm not going to go around the world and count, but they do say it's not when, it's not if, it's when you become a caregiver. So getting the support that you will help you build those firm foundations, will help structure your life a little different and give you some power, some happiness, some of your own beingness while you're a caregiver is key. And these three myths, we have to really bust them. I'm out to myth bust them. So if you know a family caregiver or you see yourself in any of these myths, please drop me an email at Lorna@thecaregiverslighthouse.com, or you can check out my Facebook page at facebook.com/thecaregiverslighthouse. I'd love to hear what you think about the three myths and how that's impacted your life. And what kinds of things do you think would change some of those myths? So you've been listening to A Graceful Journey podcast powered by Tenacious Living Network. May you find peace, hope, and joy in every day.
Thank you for joining us on A Graceful Journey. Interested in learning more about caregiver mastery? An empowering way to meet demands, find balance, all while caring for yourself, that help you find grace, peace, hope, and joy in your journey? Then Lorna M. Scott would love to connect with you. Contact her at lorna@lornamscott.com. We will see you next week, same day and time.